council meeting of May 14, 2024. Will you roll call?
Randy Cooper.
Jill Radden.
Gary Stevens.
Tony Boulay.
Mark Bradley.
This meeting is being recorded and audio will be posted on the city website. Anyone wishing to speak, please raise your hand until recognized by the chairperson, then state your name and residence. Now we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We need approval for the consent agenda, or no, for the agenda. And I have some additions to that I'd like added to the agenda. Under new business critical issues, we'll add Dave Winkleman, solar developer. Under fire and rescue, no, under parks, I would like to, two things, an update on the paver tile fundraiser, an update on the picnic tables from Quality Fabricating. Then on the liquor store, I'd like to add approval to the for the contract with Hospitality Data Systems for our POS system. And I have a motion to add those to the agenda.
I'm going to motion to add all those things to the agenda.
Second.
Vote.
Aye. Aye.
We have open forum. Anyone wishing to speak at open forum?
Are there any additional agendas?
Pardon?
Are there any additional agendas?
Oh, thanks.
Oh, there wasn't enough agendas. There's more people coming, too.
It's just hard to see them inside there.
Oh, I'm sure.
We can share.
Can we have one?
Yeah. Oh,
thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to the consent agenda. We need a motion to approve all the items in the consent agenda.
I make a motion to accept the consent agenda as stated.
I'll second it.
Vote, please.
Aye. Aye.
And with that, we'll hop right on into new business and critical issues. And it's all yours, Dave.
Thank you. David Winkleman is my name. I'm with Winkleman Solar Developers. Background in construction, Winkleman Building Corporation out of St. Cloud. Been in business for 50 years. And I've done about 300 solar jobs. You've got some nice solar collectors here. This building's aiming straight south, the roof, and so does the fire hall. And so we're proposing putting solar on those three buildings to help reduce your electric bill. We can reduce the electric bill somewhere around $1,300 a month. So that'll almost zero it out for you. This is a report that I sent in. I don't know if you can stretch that and make it bigger.
Do you want to do the summary one? Is that
yes.
The one? Okay.
So totally there's room on the two buildings.
Sorry.
For 94.7 kilowatts. I'm going to go fairly fast through this, but if there's any questions, please stop me. So I talked to Crow Wing Power. They normally have a rule where you can't have solar two places within a mile. So they waived that rule for the city here, which I thought was really nice of them. So I want to say thanks to Crow Wing Power. So filling up all three rooftops, it costs about $260,000, $264.25. Now, that will pay for itself in about 9 years. And then in addition, you'll get $545,000 worth of electricity out of it over the remaining 25 years, or 21 years. So 25-year warranties on the panels and the inverters, and they'll live at least 30 years or more. I have my own panels I bought in 1984. They're still working fine. So they're degraded a little bit, but they're still like 90% of new. So solar panels are very durable things, but the only thing that can take them out is tornado or really bad hail. And that's why you have insurance to cover for that. So financially, it's a good deal. Pay $260,000 up front. That'll get paid for in 9 years, and then again, there'll be an additional $545,000 in savings for the city. So a lot of saving money there. But for conservation, I have some steps on the next page. Oops, there we go. It'll save 2,287 metric tons of carbon dioxide reduced, and over 2 million pounds of coal that's not burned, and 105,000 propane cylinders that aren't used, and it'll charge 150 million cell phone charges, and it's equal to 2,670 acres of forest in terms of reduction of emissions of carbon. So those are from the Environmental Protection Agency, from their emissions calculator, if anybody wants a source. So I didn't think I was going to have a bid available for you, but the contractor hurried up and got two bids available. And I went over them with the other two bids we have, and it looks like Wolf Track has got the best bid. So we can go right into the Wolf Track. They got two of them. This one is for the city hall, I believe, and the other one is for the fire hall. So I'll just kind of skim through this system overview and go to the next page. This is artist's conception of what the panels would look like. We're keeping out around the dormer, because the dormer will cause some shade at certain times of the day. So this is the way it's going to look on City Hall. I'm going to get my copy. I'm nervous. So they say that we'll have like 93% complete access to the sun. And there's a little bit of shading coming in on the morning and from the trees in the late afternoon. But we've got 93% open to the sun, so that's a really good solar exposure. Next one. So I think it's just 97% shade free. Is that what I said, or did I say 93? It's 3% less anyhow, 97%. And it's directly to the south, which is perfect, the 180 degree azimuth. And it's a 23 degree roof pitch, I believe. So you'll have some snow on it in the wintertime. But don't worry about it. The sun is so low in the wintertime, we don't hardly even count the solar from November, December, January. Then the middle of January starts getting better. And then almost all the energy is produced from the middle of January through the next October. And there's a chart, go to the next one. You can see the blue is your bill pre-solar, and the red is the reduction from the solar. So on this building, you have the biggest load. So we don't quite get all the electricity to cover the bill from this building, but the other building doesn't have much of a load. So probing power will let you do what's called net metering. So they'll give you a check back or a credit from the other two buildings against this bill. And I'll show you that in a minute. There's numbers in here for how many kilowatt hours you're going to get and what the dollar equivalent of that is. So like in year one, it's worth about $7,400. Year two, it's 75, 36. It goes up slightly with inflation every year, 2.5% inflation. So the next one. And this one costs $123,000 for this building, and the other one is about $130,000. So the two of them together are about $260,000, which I mentioned before. So the details in the itemized costs And you can go to the next one. I think there's more details. There's a federal energy tax credit. You'll get a 30% check back from the federal government. And that's what they call the direct pay for solar. So the cities can receive them. That's good news for you. Then the environmental equivalents, I talked about that a little bit before. You can take a look at those again on the proposal. Those of you who have a copy of it. I don't know if everybody was given a copy. There's a lot of environmental reduction. Wolf Track Energy, they're from Bacchus and Two Harbors. They get two offices. They have about 40 employees. They have several master electricians. And they've done several hundred solar projects. So they're a good company. They bought up Real Solar out of Bacchus. I don't know if you're familiar with Real Solar, but I had given you a presentation earlier from Real Solar. But now they're one and the same company. Okay, I think that might be it on that. Now then, this is the actual panel itself, and it's got a 30-year power guarantee. So if you look at that little chart there, the red shows you the value. So it starts at a 98% after the first year, and it goes down to about 83% in 30 years. So it only loses about 17% over the 30 years. Next slide. This is more details on the panel. And these are the inverters. We recommend the microinverters. They're the most reliable. They're all solid state. There's no fans or there's no moving parts. They go right on the roof. They're right behind the panels. The panels just plug into them. And they change it into AC power right there at the panel. So the power comes off the roof at AC and goes into your service panels. There's no big inverter necessary anymore with the microinverters. And they are also warrantied for 25 years, which the regular string inverters usually only have a 10 or a 12 year warranty.
So for 25 years, they'll take care of all maintenance on that?
The labor is not all included, but parts are all included. Now, the contract was a 10-year labor guarantee. Wolf Track will take care of it for 10 years. If anything's going to go wrong with the system, it'll generally go wrong in the first couple of years. So we have like maybe one out of 500 systems that have problems. We don't have many problems with solar compared to wind. Wind, you've got all kinds of moving parts. With solar, there's no moving parts. So the warranty is there, and those are reliable companies. This IQ8 inverter is from Enphase, and they're the largest inverter microinverter company in the world. So they're a very big company.
So yeah. For three, they'd be guaranteed for 25 years, but how about labor? Is labor covered for the first 3 years, you said?
First 10 years. Yeah, Wolf Track has a 10-year worksmanship guarantee, so they've put the label for labor for 10 years.
Okay.
And that's on their proposal. Now, these are more specs on the microinverters. Go to the next thing. I think that might be the end of it. Mm-hmm. Then we'll go on to the other one for the fire hall.
Sure.
Dave, on the fire, you bring up the fire hall. If we go down the road and want to build a new fire hall, how easy is to transfer these?
It'd take about one day with four guys. To take off the panels, take off the racking, and then if you want to seal up the roof, it'll take longer, but are you going to put a new roof on it?
No, it'd be a new, and this is down the road, be a new
building?
Yeah.
So then you take the old building down.
We decided what exactly to do with it.
Okay. But anyhow, yeah, you can transfer them pretty easily. Just nuts and bolts and wires.
Okay.
Wires are quick connect, so they come apart pretty easily.
And on that note, this building, you say these are good for 30 years, shingles are only good for 35 years. So are we better off having this half of the roof shingled prior to installation, or
Well, the nice part about solar, it acts like a shield over top of your shingles. So the sun never bakes the shingles underneath the solar. So the solar will protect your roof, make it last longer. There's some areas that will be exposed on the edges.
That's what I mean. Are we going to have failures on our wall edges then?
But if those shingles fail on the edges, they're fairly easy to repair with the solar on the building.
I guess I'd want to look at the condition of the roof and kind of make a decision on that.
Yeah, do we know when it was roofed after hail damage? But I don't know what year.
This isn't the original.
No, it was re-roofed, yeah.
You know, I understand that, yeah, that shading is going to increase the life of those shingles, but like you said, around the edges there. But, gosh, I mean, is that a normal thing that they just have you seen them just replace the shingles that have exposure to them?
Well, I did that in my place back, because I put them in the 1980s, and then I re-shingled in like 2003, and we just did the edges. The rest of them weren't buckled or anything.
So the under your solar panels currently are from 1984 or whenever they're...
That's when they were bought, yeah.
Yeah.
They were moved twice. So the current location they're in, they're at the Eco Domes out on South Long Lake. And so you can see some of the panels out there. But these are the pictures of the two fire halls. I guess they're both fire halls, right?
Yeah.
And so there's more than enough roof there for 40 kilowatts, but Crowing Power limits us to 40 kilowatts. So that's why that one section is not covered with solar.
And it's 40 per building.
40 per building.
Right.
Initially they said 40 for all, but I talked them into letting you have a 1 mile rule waived. So they'd have to be a mile apart normally in order to do 240s.
Oh, I see.
But they said, well, it's, you know, it's a quarter mile here. It's okay. So they were being nice. Jeff Wohlert is the guy for Crowing Power who promised that. So I'll hold his feet to the fire on that. So, and then you see this one again, the same system overview. 180 degrees to the south. Go to the next one. This one you can see the red now is what you're getting from the solar, and the blue is what you're paying now from your electric bills. So the red is far more electricity. You can see that better on the bottom one, the dark yellow versus the light yellow. The light yellow is the solar production. The dark yellow is what your regular bills are there.
So help me out, does Crowing Power buy that power back from us?
Yes, they do. And they'll give you a credit against your other bill here, or give you a check if it's more. So you can have them do it, settle up once a month, but I just say settle up once a year. It's a lot easier for paperwork. So they call it a true-up. You true-up like in January for the previous year, and then they'll get you a check by like March or April. It's called net metering, and it's a law in Minnesota. It's been there since 1981. Net metering.
Okay, so on the top there it says estimated annual electric bill $2,166. And then estimated annual bill post solar. That's a credit.
Yeah, that's a credit of $5,000.
Okay.
So that's why I say combining the two bills, you'll almost be zeroed out for your electric bill here. So that was one of my goals, is to try to get you as close to zero as possible. So the price I got from these guys is pretty awesome. They actually went under what I had estimated, and I estimated fairly low. And so they're a couple thousand dollars cheaper than I had estimated initially. So I think they're at like $257,000 if you add these two proposals together.
And then that $257,000, we could expect to take 30% off of that yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So, I don't know how much time I've taken, but And that's the price for the second one. The first one was 123, and this one's 136, so there's like 259 combination. And I think there's maybe there's more again on the environment and on the inverters, same thing you saw before. So the warranty is on the sheets as well. And there again, you can see the little red and gray chart is how the warranty works. And it's like a 20-page warranty that comes with the modules and the inverters. And they're backed up by like a big insurance company like Lloyd's of London. So if they go bankrupt, you're still covered under warranty. So that's pretty much all that I wanted to go over. But now I'll open for questions. Anybody has any more questions?
I think about the snow in the winter. You get snow buildup. And sometimes
just leave it go. Don't worry about it. It'll start melting off from the top because the top is like midnight blue. And it'll gradually melt its way off and slide off. But you don't have to go up and clean it. Pardon?
Does it become an avalanche when it all sheds at once?
Like no, because there's spaces between the modules that slow it down. So they're kind of like those ribs you put on to slow the snow down on a metal building.
How difficult is it to remove the snow if we have to? Not last winter, but the winter before, we had such a heck of a bunch of snow here. We did have to hire to have it done.
I wouldn't worry about it. I did the math on that, and many other people have done the math too. The amount of sun that you get from the middle of November to the middle of January is only about 5% of the whole year. So
I guess I'm not worried about the solar collection. I'm more concerned about the weight and the point load of the brackets on the roof if we get such a heavy storm like we did 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's a good idea that we have a structural analysis on the building and add, you know, there's 4.5 pounds per square foot is what the solar weighs. I don't know if anybody's an engineer here, but you know, typically the snow loads are, you know, 25 to 30 pounds per square foot.
Right.
And so
I guess will they kind of tend to melt off sooner than a roof or not?
Yeah, because they're dark midnight blue.
All right, and then if it were necessary, I mean, we could go up and clean it. It won't hurt anything?
With a plastic shovel. I wouldn't be putting metal on the glass because it'll scratch.
I mean, are wires that we'd hook with a shovel?
The wires all are on the back.
Okay.
But again, I wouldn't recommend that you do anything with the snow. Just leave it buck.
Yeah, and that was just an odd year, but I just want to bring
it. So the prediction that we made on everything is based on 30 years of the National Weather Service and the Department of Energy labs saying what the weather has been like for the last 30 years. So we average that into the future for the next 30. So some years are, like last year, hardly any snow. And other years, the year before, we had 3 feet of it. So it's hard to predict that. But the whole idea is an average. So the first year, you might be very elated or you might be disappointed depending on how much cloud we get. The clouds are worse than the snow. Solar actually goes through some of the snow. If you have about 6 inches there, we still get readings from the solar. It depends on the kind of snow. Some snow is lighter than others too. If you get the styrofoam snow, you know, that's different. But that's a good question. We will check the structural load bearing capability of the roof.
Right. That, like I said, it got to be so much year before last that. But, I mean, many years prior, it wouldn't be an issue, but it's just something kind of fresh in my mind.
So, any other questions?
How are they for having a grease fan blowing up there? Will the grease coating wreck the solar?
The grease coating?
Well, they're going to have we're putting a big fan up there for the kitchen, and I imagine grease will be coming out of there.
Oh, on the very top.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's an extra burden on the solar. I don't know, depending on the prevailing winds.
Right.
You know, and it depends on how much fat is coming out of there. Does the fat actually come out?
I don't think it's actually the fat. It's just more like a mist. I don't know.
Well, the rain pretty much cleans everything out.
It leaves a stain on the roof, I know, once in a while.
Well, that's a good point, Chad, because I think that's the only thing we have on this side of the roof is that we do have a vent from the kitchen up there. You know, and I did kind of think about that.
It could be moved to that side.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if we could. I mean, we've got the easiest route for it right now, which is usually the best, but maybe with this, it should be looked at and possibly move that. Move it to that side of the roof.
Yeah, that's not too hard to do once we get a crew on the roof.
Right.
They can take care of that.
We've got a lot of room up in the attic, so.
Okay. But yeah, having a grease fan on the roof is probably not a good idea for a roof either.
Well, you kind of get, restaurants have no choice. So yeah. Look around and they're all got that, you know, a lot of, they got grease coming on.
I have one more question. I just want to make sure I understood what you had said. You said it's $1,300 a month savings, and that is 9 months that it actually accumulates credit. And then 9 years for a rate of return, is that right?
Yeah, there's a 9-year payback. After that, you'll still get about $560,000 worth of more electricity. So it pays for itself in 9 years, and you get another $560,000 over the next 21 years.
Right, but you said that in 9 years it would pay for itself.
Right.
But then it's really 20 years before it actually does pay for itself.
No, it's 9 years. The first 9 years, if you look at the math.
Okay. At 13, where's the numbers come from? The 1300 only gets you.
You want to go back to my spreadsheet, which should be in the summary, the first one. Yeah, right there. If you can blow that up a little bit. Let's see that. Here it goes year by year.
Yeah.
And here's year number 9. It's just going into the positive numbers. And then the positive numbers go all the way down to the bottom.
And so you're saying that for the first year it's $14,000 that you would get of savings for the 9 months is $14,000?
Yeah, the first year. And then it increases with inflation every year.
So $14,000 a year is what will be produced from the solar?
In the first year, yep. And then it gradually increases as $30,000 by year number 25. Because the price of electricity goes up about 3% a year.
Yeah, true. Okay.
So this is based on the price of electricity going up.
So roughly $15,000 a year, you're saying, would be the savings times 9. That would get you to the $260,000 that it costs.
But you get $78,000 worth of this direct payment from the federal government. So you've got to subtract that from the 260, so you get 156 with this, what you start with.
Okay.
So then it goes down from there to the 9 years.
So that $78,000 is a rebate of some sort?
Or that's a check from the federal treasury.
Yeah. So that's what I said. Okay, I
meant
that. Thank you.
I have a question.
That's all right. Go ahead.
I have a question.
Yeah.
How effective are those solar panels over time with the dirt and the dust? How efficient are they?
There's a guarantee on them showing, you know, the degradation. They will degrade slightly above 0.5% per year. So that over 20 years, that would degrade like 10%.
Okay.
The dust and the dirt is washed off by the rain.
And if we don't have any rain?
Well then.
And the pollen, the heavy pollen that we have over here?
Sure.
It's just not 100% effective, correct?
Well, there's not anything that's 100% right. Effective in that.
So is it down to 25% of non-productive?
Well, we figured the soiling right into our calculations. The soiling is figured in the calculations. So we have so much for snow load, so much for pollen, so much for dust.
Okay.
And that's based on the average year's weather.
Okay.
You'll get one year that's bad,
yeah,
and another year that's really good.
Right.
And they level each other out over the 25 years.
Okay. Got it.
Good question.
Okay, I'll have a question. Why? Because I've talked about solar even on my home. They want to put it on their roof. I don't want it on my roof. I've got a hill right next to me. Sun's there all the time.
Well, that's much better than the roof.
Why would you put it on a roof here? Why can't they put it out somewhere else?
Well, the roof has a structure already built.
I understand.
If we put it out somewhere else.
But when that roof needs replacing, how much does it cost to take the solar off and put a new roof on?
It's about a one-day job with four guys to take these panels off.
And what happens when
we've done that probably 100 times.
I don't know.
We've got too many people talking. Not you, Dave. We just got too many people talking.
The solar would be so much better than not on the roof.
It is better for it to be on the ground, but I don't see any area around here that's not shaded by trees or buildings on the ground. If you had a nice open area, that would be better than the roof. You're right. For your home, you should do it on the ground.
Right.
Because you can angle it at 35 degrees, which is a better angle than 23.
So I would think even a city here would be able to look at something where those solar panels could be put, even if they had to cut down a tree or two.
Well, we looked at that around the pavilion and stuff. There's just, you know, not any area there where we have a connection. We have to trench all the way over to the building here to the meter. And the trenching is very expensive, too.
Right.
So having it right on the roof, you don't have to build a structure for it.
But you got to look at time. Because the roof's going to only last so long.
Right. So we can take the panels off, replace the roof, put them back on.
And the cost is... currently?
It would be the labor cost of doing that, which, whatever, it is $50 an hour.
Okay.
I don't disagree with the solar, but I disagree with my hard work.
Well, see, you've got to build a structure on the ground. That means you've got to put poles, got to put concrete in the ground, got to put steel in the poles, and you got to build steel up and put a steel structure.
That's something to think about.
Yeah, I do think about every job I go to.
Anybody have any land to donate?
We're kind of going too long.
Yeah, does anybody have any land to donate? Because if they do, then we'll take it. But right now, we don't have land to donate, so I think we need to move on.
Okay, thank you for your time.
And thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
I have some of my business cards. If anybody has any more questions, here's some of my business cards. Not the picture of my granddaughter.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. We're still a new business and critical issue. We need a motion for approval to accept the 2023 audit as it was presented in April.
Also motion.
Go ahead, Randy.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Vote?
Aye.
And now we're up to 50 Lakes Day updates.
50 Lakes Day is coming along very, very nicely. As you know, we have moved the date to the third Saturday, so it'll be June 15th this year. There is the flyer with everything we've got going. The thing we're lacking right now is volunteers. There's a sign-up sheet in the bar next to the single door on the patio. We need people to drive golf carts, people to sell raffle tickets. Remind me, ladies, what else?
To run the jail.
Yeah.
Run the jail.
Like the jailers.
And the dartboard? Is that
one? Run the jail.
I think run is jail.
I'm not running, you are.
Yes, the jail is new this year. Diana and her staff came up with that idea. We're going to set up a jail out in the parking lot, and you can pay to have someone put in, and then they have to pay to get out.
Really? I love that idea.
And we're looking for jailers. Anybody interested?
Oh.
You put in the jail if you're a jailer.
Can we get tasers?
Yeah. Radio ads are going right now. If anybody's heard them, they sound wonderful. We want to make this day just the biggest one we've had yet, and I think it will be because we're not in conflict, for once, with Lakes Jam and the Pine River Summerfest. So we're really hoping this place is buzzing from morning till night. And fireworks. Don't forget fireworks. Yep, at dusk.
Where at?
They will be shut off over at the old golf course, but you can basically stand right here and watch them. This will be our third year. The show is amazing. Last year it was a little tough with the weather, but they did it. It was, oh, it's thundering and lightning. Oh, let's hold up. Oh, no, let's go. And they did it. So, if anybody has anything to add from the committee, please do. That's it.
Pretty much. Okay. Committee report. We'll start off with planning and zoning. Gary and Justin.
Well, I'm going to hand it over to Justin.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor and Council. The Planning Commission did not have their regular meeting in April. It's been a few months since we've met, so there are no recommendations from the Planning Commission this month. We did reschedule the May meeting to Tuesday, June 4th at 6 p.m. I actually had a scheduling conflict, and the Planning Commission was open to rescheduling that, so I'm appreciative of them for doing that. We published the notice because we had a public hearing notice to publish as well, so that went into the paper. I think it will be published next week, so the May meeting will be in June 4th at 6. At that meeting, we'll have a public hearing for a variance to construct a second-story dwelling addition and a deck within the lake setback on the property located at 16886 North Eagle Lake Road. I do have one item for your consideration tonight, but going in order here, it looks like we also have a quick update on Peninsula Road Narrows.
I have some more things to add.
Do you want to take that one? I've been out there, but you're mostly handling it, so go ahead.
Peninsula Narrows, as most of the crowd in here I notice, is from Peninsula Road. I've talked to Jake Free, the DNR, and the county. It's actually county tax forfeit property currently, but being we maintain 80% of it and we need to address it. I talked to a contractor today and in the 2025 budget where I have to move forward with roughly $10,000 to $12,000 to riprap the eastern side of Peninsula Road. It's slowly deteriorating. I think I brought it up last council meeting, and I had met with a contractor out there today, and he gave me that. That would be a ballpark estimate of what they would cost. We'd have to go three bids because of the cost. He said it'd be probably a winter project for somebody. He would like, instead, they're going to need at least one, if not two, places where they can dump rock over the embankment in the wintertime. And then he would do that in the winter, barring snow. But yeah, it would be an easy winter project. Most of them we okayed last month to go ahead and plant trees. I think, I don't know if it's too late to plant now, I think, but if you wanted to, I think if we left two designated areas open for them to put rock over the bank, we could probably move forward with that. Go ahead.
I was just wondering, this is county forfeited land. Is it any, if we're going to spend that money, are we going to be off?
Because there's 600, he's looking at the county's trying to, and that's the other thing that's in here, the county's trying to clean up these loose end properties that really don't access or become public trails, what have you. But because there's 600 feet of lakeshore involved, it throws it into a different ball. It would be already a done deal if this was just raw dirt through county tax land that, yeah, we want to purchase our easement for a dollar like we did last meeting. But because of the lakeshore, they're working on it. It will be ours. We should move forward, and half these people in here couldn't have come tonight if that road goes away. Gotcha. We need to maintain the road. Mm-hmm. So I think this is money well spent as far as, it would just be a 1 to 2 foot rise in there, but rock it in by DNR standards to hopefully eliminate any more washing out. Try to maintain the road. It has deteriorated over the He might have made, might have taken shots when that was designed.
I just have a question.
Yes.
Being that the winter comes, we have no access from east to west or west to east in the winter. Is there a way you can put those rocks so that they can take their side-by-sides or their snowmobiles over there?
It is public land at the Narrows to go around through the Narrows. Yes, it can be dicey with ice, but that's something you have to do on your own. But there is a strip of land that if you...
Well, you're planting trees, and the trees will not allow anyone to go over there.
Well, that's part of what the trees were hoping, the people were hoping to stop, is people jumping from one lake to the other through the Narrows, because that's kind of what's causing...
I understand that, but why can't we have some access to each lake?
So were you talking the channel?
Access. Pardon?
Were you talking the channel when you said the dicey ice?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
And I've gone through the channel many times.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, people have, but... they've also fallen through. It's not a safe. It's always
the ice is always the dangerous place to be. I've seen a lot of it.
I understand that. But is there a way? Can we go over the Loon Lake, Loon property?
I believe so. It is public land.
Okay.
And if they want to go back in history,
I would check with them on that more.
I've jumped that chunk of dirt for 25, 30 years.
It would be rude for them to drive their snowmobiles and side by sides for
right.
But just to follow up on that.
Get on the access.
Okay.
Yeah, but drive on the Loon land?
That's land that Loon Conservancy purchased. That.
Right, but Justin's going to just follow up to make sure it's legal.
Yeah.
We don't want to tell people.
I believe it's foot traffic only from what I remember on those trails down there.
That peninsula has been motorized vehicle travel just to go over the edge. And have you ever walked down
there? Yeah, I've been all the way out there on that point.
So in the wintertime, okay. That's a pretty regular trail. Of traffic travels through there.
Well, Myron, what is actually the county forfeited land? Where does it start and where does it end on both sides of the road?
We'd have to go out and locate the pins.
Okay.
But it's pretty much on the east side. It starts at about the, just this side, just there is the north of the Beaver Lodge and runs, there's an oak tree right just short of Red's property, Sheldon,
yeah.
If you went out there without an axe, you could dial in and you could probably find them pretty close.
You know, in a way, this doesn't really pertain to me in a way, because I don't go across, the only time I have to go across there is to launch a boat. But other people have to go across.
Your wife walks across there twice a day.
This one?
You know, the thing is, and also everybody on East and West Fox has to go and dock their boat on the land.
This one.
Yep.
So there's several different situations we're looking at here. I feel.
I don't have it. It's a touch screen.
The road's been there a long time. What is actually causing the problem? Is it the beavers?
I think it's a combination thereof.
A little bit of everything?
I would think a lot of talking to several people that know, supposedly. When the ice forms in the spring, traditional winds are west to east, and it grabs that little bit of dirt, brings it out, grabs that little bit. And you can see how it's shallower as it moves out. We all see the lily pads in the summertime. They've gone further and further and further.
Yeah.
But remember that road's been here long before any of us were born.
Right.
All of us put together.
But what I'm thinking, just over time, is a little bit of money going to fix it?
Well, that would be the DNR's prescribed riprap. Unless you want to go through a riprap all the way up to the road line, which they don't recommend, and it would jump through all kinds of other hoops. I think we're going to get there for now. We'll go with what the DNR recommends and do 3 feet out, 2 feet out, or 1 foot up, 3 feet out, and do a nice solid. Is it going to stop the muskrats? No, it'll slow them down. Is it going to stop the beaver? No, but it'll slow them down, just like wrapping the trees.
I have a question about that too, because that leads to...
Can you please stand up? I'm sorry, I'm so your voice broadcast. I would really like to hear what you have to say.
If you're going to speak, would you please stand up and in your name and address, please?
Okay, I'm Melanie Hummelbach, and I'm at 4091 8 Pizza. Rowan. My question is then, is there is, like you said, there is that degradation of the shoreline there, and it is coming into the bay quite a bit, and there's all that muck. So what is the legality of being able to clean some of that out of there so that, or something so that, or adding to this, so you're just going to add year after, you know, 10 years down the line, you're going to add to that, and we're just going to keep getting
more? The rocks should bed down in there and be pretty, they're about as solid as fixed as we could. Do you got a better idea?
I don't have a better idea because this is the first that I've heard of it. Myself, I hadn't heard of this until just recently. So, but it is a concern. We talk about it for the last 5 years that we've had the property, is how much muck is in that bay, you know, and it just keeps getting worse and worse, and the bogs are getting bigger and bigger. So that is our concern as property owner right there. Mm-hmm. It's like, what can we do? And me personally, I was wanting to talk to the DNR to say, hey, what can we do to help with that, because we're the only one that accumulates all that crud in that bay, and you're adding to it. It sounds like
we're adding trees to hold the soil in place, but if we add the rocks, they're not going to go anywhere. They're going to help hold the soil in place too. So it's going to eliminate, or at least
slow down
most of the stuff that comes into the bay. But far as taking stuff out of the bay, that would be totally a DNR.
Right, and we can ask. But now that the conversation's here, it kind of prompts the idea of like, what can be done with that bay so that it's not so mucky, because it is turning really into a mucky place over the years. It has been, and it hasn't always been that way over the last 30 years, you know, 35 years is what I've heard. So I was just curious as to what can be done.
She's got it up here.
Yeah, I see that. That's actually the first time I thought that county strip went further than Shelley's on the east side there. So I guess we'd have to approach that homeowner on that next. Can you slide that down a little bit? Can we read a home? Do we have a PFD?
Shelley and Keith.
Is that's actually that city land there, correct? That's the way I read it on X.
I believe the northern portion is, platted right of way. It's a part of that northern plat area, so that the whole peninsula is platted.
When I was out there on X, looking online, it looked like the corner of their lot.
Which one are you talking about?
The northern part of this.
This right here.
So it shows here that the county only owns to here.
Northeastern.
Which, according to my map, they own all the way to here. But maybe this is city. Starting here, so it's still our issue. This road is our primary concern to keep that road passable 25 years from now.
Yes, sir.
Yes, please.
Yes. And is just one other question, is the riprap going to go on both sides, or is it just going on the east
side? The other side's all sandy beach, mm-hmm. and shows very little to no deterioration. It's mainly just the east side that has considerable deterioration.
Is there any undermining of the road by the beavers right
Absolutely.
Now? Absolutely. So is riprap, that's not going to do anything for that, right?
Well, our contractor's more concerned about it making a soft spot for winter. So this first came to me by Bobby Anderson last October-ish. I immediately contacted Chad to wrap the trees, and Eddie Shutka proceeded to trap. I'm probably going to get these numbers wrong. I believe there was 3 last fall and 6 this spring. He took 9 beaver out of that area between the spring and the fall, or this past spring and the last fall. So we're trying to take care of that end of the issue also. That lodge has been there forever.
Yes.
And even Lon Musoff can tell you can't remember that not being there.
Well, that's a temporary fix. I mean, beavers move all the time.
All the time.
And in the spring, when the new babies come, the old babies from last year get the boot, and they're going to be wandering around looking for a new home. And if that home is vacant, it will be inhabited by another beaver. So it's an ongoing problem.
I think it's a great idea for the riprap to shore up the edges like that. Again, I think the other concern we all have is if the road undermines, it's going to collapse, right?
Well, I really discourage anybody from cleaning up any of the underbrush that falls, the trees that fall. If you have break in half so they become part of the soil faster, that's fine, but hauling it away isn't necessarily a good thing.
No, I'm talking if the beavers in their house are undermining the current road.
That lodge, not necessarily, but in a beaver lodge, the female and the young are raised there. The old man, he's got a bachelor pad down the beach somewhere, and it's underneath. I believe the big double.
So the city doesn't think the current road is being undermined right now or dug out?
Oh, I'm certain it is. I'm certain it is.
Okay, so that's my question.
Is the road bed in all the way, the road bed itself? I don't think so. I shoved a pole up there, it only goes back about 3 feet, and in that area, thankfully, it's about 9 feet from the edge of water to the road bed. There are other places in that area where it's 5 feet with 5 feet of rise to the road bed. So
currently you're comfortable that the road itself is solid, the road bed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we,
that was my question.
We keep track. I don't know how long you've been there, but we already replaced about 150 feet of road on that. In fact, we pulled out all the, so when that road was originally made, it was all made with corduroy, which most of us all know what that is, and younger kids, they got to explain it to them. But it was all wood.
Okay. And not very comfortable that the road is good.
Can we just get your name and address?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Jim Brooks, 40861 Peninsula Road.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Just one more statement. I hope the trees that are planted there, and I understand
Diane.
That.
Diane,
Marsalik, 15083 Peninsula Lane. Don't get chopped into pieces because of the electrical lines. So, what, I don't know what size trees you're planning on putting there?
Well, the trees should go pat around electrical lines. They're not going to inhabit them, I hope.
Okay,
that could be an issue. I hadn't thought about that, but there's already existing trees there.
Yeah, there is. So.
And the tree.
And then they come through and then they cut them off so they don't interfere with the power lines. I was just wondering what kind of trees you're going to plant and it's going to end up getting sliced.
Well,
because the
last meeting we okayed 50 birches, 50 Norways, and 50 deep rooting shrubs, which Judy. Okay. Went through and did some research and found some better deep-rooting shrubs.
Oh, good.
But we really want to make sure there's a good root structure along there to maintain. Yeah.
So you put the shrubs there where the electrical lines run so you don't have to chop the trees in half, you know.
But Norway's looked pretty, too, though, for a long time, so I'm kind of Norway. So that's the gist of it. I want to make sure we budget that.
40865 Peninsula Road. Are you going to plant trees on both sides?
Yes. We're hoping for thinner trees. When I talked to your wife, put the birches on the west side so the wind travels through them, and then the Norways will pile up the stones.
Don't you do it the other way around?
No, because you don't want that windbreak. Then it all ends up on the road. We already know, and you guys are there in the wintertime.
Yeah.
You know how those drifts show up between the Norways?
Yeah.
If you put that whole side Norways, you're going to have that drift all the way through there all year.
It's all the way through there now.
Yeah.
Well,
you think the bridge is going to stop it? You think the bridge is going to stop it?
No, but they're going to the wind will go around them with and still create a good structure.
Okay.
I'm open for thoughts. I just think the Norways are better on the downwind side because they create a natural windbreak. If you look out west where they've done tree rows further back, the snow piles up on the downwind side of them. And if you put them on the west side of the road, all that snow is going to pile up on the road. If you put them on the east side of the road, that snow is going to blow across and pile up behind them on the lake. Does that make sense?
Kind of. I look at trees out in Dakotas and the snow piled up in front of them all the time. And they put their tree rows in for windbreaks.
Right.
Well, if you put them on the west side, they're going to pile up in front of them.
That's opposite of what I've seen in the Dakotas for snow fences. Snow fences are generally just set back so that they pile the snow before it gets to the road. And we don't have room for that on that side of the road.
You don't have that. You have to have that opportunity here where it piles it up back.
Right, but if we put them on the other side, it'll pile it up on the lake instead of on the road.
Okay.
Maybe the DNR could weigh in on that.
Sure. Ready to go. Okay, to get their opinion. Absolutely.
It's a tie.
Is the city planting these, or the neighbors that volunteered before going to plant these?
It was the residents that came to us said that they would take care of planting. Al?
Anybody else?
Your turn, Al.
I'm Al Klein. I live on Peninsula Road, 408-71. Mark, do you think a foot to 2 feet of riprap down there is going to be enough? I mean, now this year with the water being up like it has been again, the water comes, when the boats come by, Justin's been to my house, he knows how high the riprap is, it comes right over the top.
This is a DNR recommendation by Jake Free. I know that you have a debate with him, but he's been on and looked at it.
I mean, some of the boats that we have on the lake now in the last 5 years, they put out quite a weight when they come by.
Oh, it's a battle. I don't like them at all, but on the good thing about that area is how shallow. Look how far out you wouldn't go anywhere near that with a weight boat. You take out your impellers. They're a good, how many lots are between?
East Fox, yeah. Would. West Fox, they would.
Yes, they do. They come right by the end of the dock.
Yeah.
Right, Al? Al lives on east. Jim lives on east, or on west. East. Yeah.
At this point, there's no damage on the west side.
They come right by the end of the dock.
At this point, there's no damage on the west side that's noticeable.
I'm talking the west side of the deal. I guess that would be on...
on the west Fox side.
Yeah.
There doesn't...
East of west, east side of West Fox, you're right.
Looking at the beach there, there wasn't nearly the degradation or erosion that there is on the east side.
Yeah.
I've walked both sides and hip boots, and the east side bar none has got some bad issues.
Yeah, I guess that's
10 years from now, maybe we want to do the west side, but at this point, the west side is looking fairly good. It's pretty sandy, it's very gradual. There doesn't seem to be any damage on that. But that east side is definitely something I would like to budget for.
You're talking the east side of West Fox.
The east side of the road.
Okay.
Probably that oak tree.
Where we're going to plant the trees?
Yeah. And that's where we're talking to the contractor today. If we left an area 15, 20 feet wide, we can plant it later. If you wanted to pursue planting this year, if you want to wait till next year when growing season, right now we're getting kind of late into the fine tree planting. Let's say they're refrigerated. He showed me two spots where this is probably the ideal place to turn around, dump the rock, and that way he's only going to come through the shallow all the way around once. And as far as weight boats, I'll tell you what, I don't know anybody that's got weight
boats. They're not going through the lily pads. They're on the other side, though.
Right, but walking this, I didn't see nearly the damage.
So will the city help clear out the dead stuff?
No, I don't want to remove any of the dead trees or any of the bad vegetation, trees whatsoever. I don't want cut, replaced. Okay. If you guys feel the urge of knocking down a branch, just push it down the ground so that it holds the earth in.
Yeah.
Cleaning up the woods isn't necessarily a good thing.
More question, just for clarity, sorry. You said 2 to 3 feet high, but you're saying 15, 20 feet wide?
No. They recommend every 3 feet out, 1 foot up. 2 feet out, 4 feet out.
Thank you. 4 feet out?
I believe that's what it is.
So as tall as me, out.
Pardon?
I just have to have a visual.
He's going to build a riprap. We're going to have a riprap.
So the riprap only is like 4 feet out from the road right now and about 2 feet high?
Yeah. Probably.
So, because that's all muck, like, you know, when you walk out there, it's deeper than it looks. Like, that, so, like, when you walk in here with waders, it goes down to your waist. You realize that, right?
All of the contractors said that it, here's what we probably need to do, and that's what the Jake Free and the DNR agreed with what they had for a plan.
Okay, because that would only get you to like the water's level maybe with the riprap if you only went like.
Well, we don't really want to go up on the bank too high and start killing the undervegetation. We want to keep vegetation growing as much as possible.
Okay.
We can
that's okay.
All
those
things
in place. But yeah, I'm just kind of visualize what it'll look like and what it's going to be. Because I look at that every day.
They have a plan.
The maximum slope the DNR allows is 3-to-1 for riprap. Otherwise, they consider it a wall, in which case they don't allow. I don't know where that would get you in terms of the shoreline, how far out it would be, but that's what they would allow, 3-to-1.
Would the DNR then maybe draft a plan?
It's
for council to review, I would guess?
No.
They've already got a plan that they've got on print.
Mm-mm. I mean,
you've seen the page. I can't put my hands on one at the moment, but they have a page. Okay.
If you want to go that route, you could.
What we're trying to eliminate is the ice and whatnot, taking more vegetation out.
And since I'm on the record, is there going to be an assessment to all of us then for this?
No, we'll probably go citywide. And it would just budget $12,000 in the next year's budget to cover this expense.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, you're going to pay for it, and so am I.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for helping.
Anything else on the Peninsula Road Narrows? Anybody, any more questions?
Yeah, since that strip of land is narrow on both sides, and you're going to plant trees, how are you going to stop from cutting or plowing? Hit them with the plow when you go through in the winter.
Well, don't put it within 18 inches of hardtop.
Well, it's going to be pretty hard on one side.
What's that?
It's going to be pretty hard on the east side. There ain't a lot of land there.
Now there. And that's why we need to put rocks to help hold it and plant more vegetation to hold it.
So
I agree. There is not a whole lot, like I said.
So are they going to put dirt behind those rocks?
No, we can't put dirt behind those rocks. We can put more rocks right there in certain areas, like, and I addressed that where the beaver den is. It's probably going to get a great big rock.
Yeah.
But can we do anything as far as dirt? At this point, they don't want us to.
Okay.
Because then the other thing, if you put dirt on top of vegetation, it probably still holds underneath. You don't want to. I don't want to disturb that upper part any more than a shovel with a tree to go in it.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to try to preserve what bank we have left. Should this have been addressed 10 years ago? Maybe. Nobody brought it up then. They didn't worry about it.
So when you mow the side of the road, you mow farther than 18 inches in.
That's true.
I usually mow the width of the mower, which is 4 feet.
Yeah, so you're just going to cut everything off.
Well, I'll come up. If there's trees there, I'm not going to mow a tree over.
Yeah,
so how are you going to stop?
We'll find a happy medium. I mean, we can make a plan here.
Are you going to put a ribbon or something there so that you know not to mow in there, or the snowmobiles know not to mow there?
Well, if you put any pine trees, I would really encourage Judy to crown them.
Yeah.
So that's going to put a great big white flag on the end of every one of those pine trees. We can put a little marker next to the birches or whatever, but we're not going to spend money and time planting trees and then have them mown the first time over.
Okay.
We'll be diligent about what we do.
See what happens after the first
year. I'm not running the mower, but hopefully he doesn't kill them all.
How big are these
plant
trees?
Keep them in mind also.
Mm-hmm. How big are these trees you're planting?
They were buying them from the DNR, so I imagine they're seedlings. That's why I encourage her to crown them, because you do have your own personal deer population out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Ron Marcolic, 15083 Peninsula Road. Okay, for me, If that road washes out, it's not a problem, because all these spring bedrooms built for people that have to go over there. But my question is, on that side, where are you having a problem with the beavers? Going to put riprap in. I get that. But what about the dirt that the trees have to grow in? There's got to be some kind of dirt put in there, because they can't grow on riprap.
We're not going to plant in the riprap. No. Riprap's just going to be down on the shoreline.
Right.
The trees will be on the top.
But something has to come in with the riprap up on top.
Right, that's where we're going to leave two chutes to pour rock down to spread along the bank for the first year, and then you can plant over those if you wish.
Because I'm just looking at the cost to hopefully make this work.
Well, and that's why it's a winter project. It's not something you're going to do in the summertime.
Right.
If it does in the summertime, we are going to have all kinds of, that bank's going to get all tore up and it's going to go away. He's going to come in with, he just wants to be able to get the rock close by, because ferrying 300 trips up and down the north shoreline or wherever he ends up dumping in at the access and ferrying it all over there would be dangerous for one, cost prohibitive for two. But if he just has to put his skiddy in there and then run along the edge of the beach, and actually he's telling me today how he worked up a winch that he hooks it to his dump truck to the front of his skid steer and lifts his skid steer up pretty steep banks. So he's hoping not to even use the access should we, as we move forward with this project. He said, oh, I'm probably not going to go through the access. But that's one of my worries, is you bring 10, 12,000 pounds down on the ice. It's something that has to be, he didn't even do two projects this winter because the ice didn't get good enough. So can this even happen this year? Only Mother Nature knows. Because the other thing that you're going to find next year is, we're going to ask Chad for the early part of the winter not to push the snow to the side it most naturally wants to go to. We're going to push it to the West Fox side. So the berm's going to be over there, so you are going to get some drifting this coming winter. Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't want to have to... He's got to keep that plowed from the first ice we get. He's going to be over there with his four-wheeler, keeping that ice clear so he can build up a good layer of ice to work on. He's going to build a platform on the ice so it cut down on travel up and down that bank. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for taking this
Thank
up.
You.
Thanks everybody for coming. Oh, it's nice to see people in the audience.
I didn't realize they were all coming for this, and most of them would be.
Come to see you work.
We'll go on to Crowing County reclassification and future sale of tax forfeited lands.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. The county is intending to sell 5 tax forfeited parcels within the city. These parcels all are right around 40 acres in size, and we'll go through them. But before they can sell these parcels at public auction, per Minnesota statute, they first have to notify the city, and the city must first approve the classification and intended sale. So 5 parcels, I've grouped them into 2 groups. So the first one is just a standalone parcel, parcel number 1. That one is located at the end of West Fox Lake Road. It's 38.82 acres and zoned forest management. If you want to go down to the report, page 34. Yep, so there, that's the same parcel. The lower image has the wetland layer on, so you can just see that there's no wetlands on this property. As I said, it's 38.82 acres, it's on forest management. All of these parcels are landlocked, which is why I believe the county is wanting to sell them. They can't access them. So then moving down to parcels 2, 3, 4, and 5, these are all located southeast of Meyer Lake. Parcel 2 is 39.8 acres and zone forest management. That is the southeast parcel. Parcel 3 is 39.9 acres. That's zone special protection. Parcel 3 is the southwest parcel. Parcel 4, 39.8 acres. That one's zone forest management. That's the northwest. And then finally, parcel 5 is the northeast parcel. That one's 39.8 acres and zoned forest management. So the county wants to sell all of these at public auction. And in order to do that, the city has to approve the reclassification of them to non-conservation.
So what's the special classification in the forest?
There's not a lot of difference. So the city went through a citywide rezone. We adopted a new zoning map when the zoning ordinance was adopted in 2017. And so if a parcel is, or was at that time, more than 50% in the shoreline area and publicly owned, it was zoned special protection. If it were outside of the shoreline area, it was zoned more than 50% outside the shoreline, it was zoned forest management. But really, they're very, very similar in terms of their purpose and intent. They're just kind of rural type development parcels, big minimum lot sizes, can't be developed into, you know, small residential lots.
So the special protection there doesn't show that there's a lot of water.
Actually, yeah, so if you go down, there is some wetland area on that southwest one.
Oh, wetland.
Yep, so all that color there is wetland area. You can see the other parcels do not have wetlands, so that was another part of the special protection zone, is that those are typically parcels that contain a significant amount of naturally sensitive areas, I'll say. So you look at the zoning map up there, everything in yellow, kind of in the northwest corner is all lower, and for the most part publicly owned.
Does that need a motion?
Yeah, we could do one motion for all five if you want to.
I have one other question. Yep. If someone buys this land, how are they going to access the land?
Well, that's where I was going to go with the motion.
Oh.
Okay. I would like to let them go ahead and put this property up for sale with the contingency that it be sold to an adjoining landowner so that the city does not have to worry about how they access the property.
Do we have to worry about that?
Sort of. I'm not sure that they would go for that condition. So the county sells landlocked parcels all the time. If you look at their listings online, there's dozens and dozens of lots that are landlocked. And so there's a statute called, or a law, the Minnesota Cartway Law, I think it's called, where if someone acquires ownership of a landlocked parcel, they can then petition the city to establish what they call a cartway. It's 33 feet wide through adjacent properties. And the city has to grant public access to this parcel. But there's a very lengthy process with assessors and surveyors and engineers
and
council approval. The person that's petitioning has to cover all the costs. So a lot of times, it's not worth it to buy a $20,000 parcel and spend maybe $20,000 on the fees to get to it. So a lot of times they are purchased by adjacent landowners.
They can force an adjoining landowner to take 33 mm-hmm. feet of their land.
Yeah, it's in Minnesota law. And there's one, if you want to look, there's a township, I think it might be Ideal. It's been going on for years and years, and I think it's at the Minnesota Supreme Court now. It's just gone through all these different levels. It can get pretty messy.
It sounds terrible.
Yeah, but
that's my amendment that it can only be sold to the landowner.
I don't think they'll go for that. I don't think you can add that condition.
Emily just did that.
They offer the first sale to the adjacent landowners. I know they send them notices, and
Emily just did the same thing.
Well, what if the adjacent landowner can't afford it or doesn't want it?
Then it becomes county tax board.
Okay.
Ever moving forward.
Okay.
I don't really want to jump through the legal and the headaches of the cart truck. I've talked to people at Ideal and.
Yes.
Like you said, how many people are going to buy that and want to go through all that?
Well, I've talked to three landowners. Actually, there's two of them interested in the parcel that's east of you.
Well, if there's somebody with enough money that wants to buy all that property at once, they might be.
Well, it depends on the price.
Right. Sure.
The parcel to the north up behind Randy Johnson and Greg Moore, they're not going to let anybody cross through there. I can talk to Narcissian, who's to the east.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have a choice if they're
Have you been to that part of the world? You're looking at a road across this.
Oh, no, okay, that I...
The topography of that country up there is not pretty. If you're not going up, you're going down all for that whole stretch through there. So that's where you got to get up and do some legwork.
Well, and I see a little bit of a problem with your motion there, Mark, is to, if I own the adjoining property, why would I buy it if nobody else can? Mm-hmm. I'll just continue to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where the city of Emily went.
But did it work?
I don't know, it just happened last meeting. They did this, they went through this exact thing we're going through right now. Justin, heavy sigh, what's going on?
Well, I don't think they'll go for it. I think they're going to bring this to the county board, and they're asking if the city supports, they're not asking for conditions, they're asking whether you support them reclassifying this so that they can sell it.
They're going to kind of do it with or without us.
Yeah. I guess I could suggest that but they do that anyway. They do, I think they prefer to sell it to adjacent landowners at the assessed value. They're not going to give them any sort of break, but they're trying to maximize revenue, and then it also gets added on to, you know, it's going to increase the tax base of the city. Right now, they're not generating any property tax revenue. So, I guess I'm not an attorney, but
if we do okay for them to go ahead and sell it, then we're on the hook for the cart path.
You're not on the hook for any. You'll be reviewing it, but you will not be responsible for any expenses incurred for a petition for a cartway. That's all on the petitioner, and that's in the statute. Everything from the assessor, they have to hire an assessor to go out there and determine the value. Council actually sets the value of the property based on a recommendation from an assessor, or like an appraiser, not an assessor, an appraiser. Yeah.
So whether we support them or not support them, it sounds like they're going to go up for sale.
If you do not support it, they will hit the pause button on the process, and that's in their letter. Basically, you would notify them that you don't support it, and then they would ask, you know, why, and then...
I think they realize that they could go to the neighboring land to log it, and now they can't log it, so they can't make money on it that way, so now they're trying to sell it.
Yeah, there are several online. There's a website for tax forfeited property, and there are several on there that don't have access. And for whatever reason, I don't know if people don't know or it's too expensive, but they generally don't sell very quickly, the ones that don't have access.
So their options are to pass it or to not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Support or don't support.
Randy?
Yes, sir.
What do you think?
I think the more people you have going to auctions, the better. If we're looking to upsize the profit on this, so by saying that, I would support the whole endeavor personally.
I think it's going to go in and out of what we do. I guess with that being said, I'd probably support it also.
Make the motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the reclassification of this tax forfeited property.
The five parcels?
The five parcels.
And intended sale by the county.
And intended sale by the county.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll second.
I'll second.
Any more discussion? Vote.
Aye.
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 Why would you abstain?
Because I don't.
Then you should.
Don't be a name.
No, I'm just going
to. You can be a name.
Oh, okay. Any more questions on that? I think it's done since you had the vote. Yep, I did include the list of permits in the staff report. If you have any questions on those, I'd be happy to answer.
I do have a question on the last one, the 11/24.
Yep.
Date received was 11/24/24.
Oops.
Date approved.
You caught me. Let's see. Thank you for that. I will update that. We got that one in recently. The typical turnaround on these permits is 1 to 2 weeks. So I'm assuming we got that one in within the last couple of weeks. So thank you. Yep. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we will go on to parks. We have an update on the paper tile fundraiser. And I did get on the internet. There is so much information on this.
Go ahead. Okay. So, Mark, right there is the box. So, as council knows, the city cannot fundraise. And they're, it's against the law for the city to fundraise. So the fire department has graciously offered to run this through their 501c3. So I just thought that council should be updated.
Should
I
carry these?
I don't care.
Just update you that the park committee has met. And I think they're going to do phase one with tiles.
The one that's in front of Randy?
Yeah. And those will go on the outside of the new park pavilion bathroom utility room.
You know, on the inside.
Outside.
The outside of the wall that is inside. The
yes.
It's hard to, yeah.
You're right. Yep. And then phase two would be then pavers. But the park committee doesn't have a plan, so they thought it's premature to start a plan for pavers until there is a plan as to where the pavers would go. For those of you in the audience, what this is a fundraiser, so you'll be able to buy a brick or a tile in memory of someone, or just put your own name there, or businesses can, and you can buy multiple, so you could do one, or you could do a group of four, or six, or eight, and do one big one.
Figure out a cost for each paper?
Then? We have not even decided who we're going with yet. We'll meet again on Monday.
Yeah, we've got two different companies. I've been doing some research on them. They both sound very reputable companies. The one does the, where it's lasered in so it's recessed. Mm-hmm. And the other one uses, they burn it with some black glass. It's lasered in with some black glass on the papers that are flush with the surface. Yeah, that was the comment that was made about the one that's recessed was that dirt, bubble gum, people walking, whatever, could get down in there, and then it would. There is still a guarantee on both of them, so you know, for a number of years. So just got to do some more research on the whole thing. But we want to get started. We want to get it kicked off and get started. We'd like to have a booth at 50 Lakes Day and promote this project for the city.
So maybe we have to do, because of handicapped access with 42 inches?
5 feet, I think. Wasn't it? Was it 5 feet?
No.
Oh, the mic for the...
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Sidewalk.
I didn't know what you were talking about.
Yeah, sorry.
The sidewalks, yes, have to be 5 feet.
Yeah, and then I was just thinking maybe the pavers could go outside of that, possibly, or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that or can we have a special area?
Or near somewhere near the airport or something, you know, around the pickleball court, somewhere on the sidewalks. There's, I think there are various options there. There's a few other places.
Yeah, I wish I...
How much of the sidewalks had to be 5 feet versus could we do an area that's just in pavers? And the tiles are nicer because they go on the sidewall of the building, but
do the sidewalk and pavers? Would that be handicap acceptable?
Somebody next to me.
Well, we've already done our full plan.
Oh, right.
We can't change that at this point.
I'm sorry.
I mean, once, if we get the grant, then they said yes. Then if there's changes we want to make, but right now we just have to.
We got to say. But I think there's a lot of places that they can be placed.
Because on the whole Walker Park up there, that's all the trails are done in pavers.
Sure.
How they didn't.
And it was really nice.
And how they didn't get away with having to do 5 foot wide concrete sidewalks.
No, I guess they did it though, you know.
Yeah, we're also changing all the time. Mm-hmm.
So yes, the planning committee will meet again Monday at 6 o'clock if anyone cares to join us.
Okay, we'll update on the picnic tables that we had Quality Fabricating made. There are two of them in the park pavilion, and then there was one right here outside north of the door, entry door here. It's just sitting. It was the prototype from that Quality first made. They made some changes, and the permanent changes are in the ones that are over there in the pavilion. I think they're really nice. I think they work out really nice for families that come there with their kids, who come there to sit and, you know, have a place to have a picnic and stuff. That'd be great.
Yeah, thank you to Chad for buzzing over 3 times to get these tables, get them set up. The one out here is the prototype, and they're offering it to us for $800, where the other ones we paid $12.
Do we vote on that? Can we vote on that? I'll make a motion that we buy that prototype table for $800 from Quality Fabrication.
Second.
Discussion? Vote?
Aye. Thank you.
Are we going to get more tables?
I forget to ask.
Is it, that's all we got?
That's all we contracted for.
That's all we contracted for.
Two, and then the bar was going to buy two, but I think we'll get to them when we get there.
Okay. That's all I have on parks. Anybody have anything on parks? Fire and rescue. We'll turn it over to Jill.
Well, first I'd like to congratulate Jesse and make a motion to accept Jesse, appoint Jesse as our new fire chief.
Second.
Vote.
Aye. I'd like to make a comment. Jesse is a third generation fire chief.
Congratulations, Jesse. So I'll turn it over to you. Let us.
No, I don't have too much. We had one fire call, we had one medical call last month. Mm-hmm. I'm forward to serving the community. Continue to.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll also need a motion to accept to approve the fire and rescue bylaw amendment.
That was the same one we discussed last month, where we cut it in half, went to 1925 for 2024, and then they put an addendum on there.
Yeah, you have it in front of you.
Yep. We went and did all the legal, jumped through the right hoops this time, and I make a motion we accept the bylaws as stated.
I'll second it.
Discussion? Oh.
Aye.
Okay. We'll get down to back to Mark. Road construction and maintenance. Mark and Chad.
Chad, you want to talk about Larry?
Talk about who?
Larry.
Yeah. The guy that I've been using for dust guard called me about 2 hours ago, and he's not going to be doing it. So we will be going with.
I'll repeat.
Corbin.
Okay.
How soon before we get
there? Did you able to get the information with
yeah.
Brian could put his tank in?
Yeah, he's just really deathly ill right now, so
he
didn't want to deal with it.
Okay.
Oh, geez.
I'll have to contact Corbin Estimating again. They gave us the bid for $1.25 a gallon at a 2.5 grade, so it's $2,600 a mile. And we have about 14 miles. And I have to contact them. I don't know, when they were talking about doing it, they were waiting until after Memorial Day.
Okay. Should we not get any rain? Is there any way we talked about watering roads today?
Right.
Keeping an eye out for high traffic times to, I don't know if we can Thursday night have them come in for however long it takes to drive the tender through the gravel. At least on the high.
Driving it through the gravel isn't part that takes the longest. It's filling the truck back up.
Oh.
Yeah, we can look into that. Just ran the road down there.
Yeah, like Thursday night before Memorial Day weekend or something, if he's not going to be or not. Because if we don't get rain, the roads are drying out pretty bad right now.
Yeah, they're right. We're really dry. Other than that, I don't have anything. We wrapped 68 trees on the west side of the peninsula and 17 on the east side. And that's about all I got. Other than the other stuff we've just been doing earlier on my little list.
What about the meeting there with on the corner there? They want to shut off the two entrances?
I wasn't there.
I was there on that one.
What
we spoke with them, and they were under an entirely different idea of what we have. I think they'd like to shut down the one on the entrance on Highway 1 because they're going to kick that up to 55 through there. I think they're fine with the one coming off of 3, but then they also offered to, they when they redo the road, they put an entrance in off a Town Hall Road for us, is what the offer was.
So the lot would still have the two entrances or exits, whichever, but safety-wise, they wouldn't be emptying out on 1. They have to come out on 3 or out on Town Hall Road and then go to 1. More or less a safety factor.
So they would take care of all eliminating and getting rid of the other approach, putting ditch in. And
you know, we didn't get into the details of that, but he said they would put in an approach. But also at the same meeting, I asked, we want to see a plan for this before they do it too. So I'm hoping that that would be incorporated into that plan. I'm not sure if it would be. I guess that's just, I'm totally unsure of that.
Yeah, they just haven't got back to us. We requested a 5-year plan.
Yes.
They haven't got back to us yet. So.
And I did email Rob Hall and request a copy of the 5-year plan. And he's out of the office till next week.
Okay.
I will need a motion for the contract.
Yes, sir.
I make a motion to accept the contract with
Corbin.
Corbin.
Second.
Bowen.
Aye.
And if I may, Chad and Luke have been working really hard. I had this little list.
It's not little.
Just maintenance, and it's been wonderful just to see the progress. I just really appreciate that.
Thank you. We'll be all spruced up for 50 Lakes Day.
That's sort of trying to, well, it covers the whole area, but we're trying to get this part done first before you go.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Chad.
It says Crowley County access on Town Hall Road. That's just we just talked about. Okay, we will go on to liquor store. And Randy and Diana.
I'll just quickly go through the P&L sheet from last year at this time to current. Roughly total sales was about 41,000 last year at this time. And we matched that this past month in April at 47,000 and change. So still working with some higher operating expenses. Diana has been working hard on trying to keep our inventories down at time, and then also keep the staff hours as whittled down as we think need to be. So if you look at the total net profit of this past April, we're just in the red a little bit at $5,800, which for those of you folks that didn't sit in on it. We've had a terrible year last year, and first quarter didn't start off too well either, so the numbers do reflect that, but I think we're about ready for a bounce here. We've seen it for some of the presentations that I've given that hopefully that is the case. So do you want to talk a little bit about upcoming promotions?
Yeah, we have music coming on the 18th. Mike Miller will be here with live music, and then we have Oddwall. Oh, I believe it's the 24th. I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me, but I have it in my calendar. Everything has been advertised on the radio and hung up in the bar on Facebook, so hopefully we'll get more people. Have them outside too if it's nice. That would be even better. So, yeah. And then we have 50 Lakes Day in June coming up. So, that's what we're doing.
I heard the radio at a 93.3 Facebook. Yeah, he did great enough.
Good. Yeah. Sorry, I don't have an agenda in front of me.
Staff reports.
Switch to the.
let's try to follow the agenda here. Mm-hmm. Approval to hire Juan Cabrera. And
oh,
that, there's a agenda inspector.
We'll start with that.
So,
staff report is next.
Back page.
No,
you want me to hold it over here? So you hear me?
I think that's what she did. That means
that was the staff report.
Oh, I was one doing it as a cleaner.
Excellent.
So I'm gonna have a motion that we hire Juan Cabrera as a part-time cleaner.
Second.
Could you throw his wage in there too, please?
The same as Joe's.
$20 an hour.
$20
now.
Yeah.
Motion is second.
Okay, vote.
Aye.
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 You'll
have to
regain.
She doesn't have glasses.
No, I
have. That's got to be big enough.
Okay, I think so. So Randy and I were talking about pergolas out in the front of the bar. We measured. Did some homework on it, and this is what we came up with here. We were talking about doing two, so I guess we would like to get approved for two of them.
No, we're just going to do one.
Are you teaching mine again?
I changed my mind.
Great.
No, it's Ann.
She's
the one who told me
I
that one's better.
I want one because then we have sun on one end and shade in the other. Because I like to sit in the sun.
And I don't. So
yeah.
We negotiate.
So would you cover that with something? Or yeah. Okay. We'll put tin on it, I think.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And do lights in there and hook it up with electric.
The only question I have is, how long has this outfit been doing this? Because in case we want to buy another one, say 2 to 5 years, do you think they'll still be available? Or?
No, I didn't look into that.
I'm going to Google. There's a lot of different manufacturers.
Well, we have kind of matching.
Yeah.
Something similar, I would think. But,
may I ask if the tin, how about the weight bearing, the snow? Is that something we'd have to pull the snow off?
Oh, yeah.
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 Okay.
Okay.
We just have to make sure
we
get done.
And there's thoughts, too, that's put in the cement, drilled in the cement, so it's got, like it says there, 100 mile an hour winds. But we might also look at taking that off of in the winter months.
Oh, great idea.
Storing it over somewhere by your chat.
Because we have so much storage.
I don't think that's the right price on that. I thought that was $19.99.
They went up.
It's a we waited too long.
But that doesn't include the mounting, or how much does it include the mounting hardware?
Yes, it does. And then our maintenance department's going to erect it. It comes pre-drilled.
Yes. Yep. Is that done in between?
But it's been pre-drilled, just put it together and set her up.
So. Correct your set.
Yep.
They want it done by the Thursday.
Of course.
It's only 6 weeks out.
We will help, right?
Absolutely.
Do we need a motion?
We need one or two?
One.
I'll make a motion, we get one.
I'll second that. Vote?
Vote.
Aye.
Include shipping.
Can
we go back one second?
Sure.
So on the pergola, I think we should have a ceiling for the cost. The tax will be $237, and I don't know what the shipping is.
For to put a roof on it?
For shipping.
No. Order this. So can we say not exceeding $3,000?
Or we can put a cost limit on it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. $3,000 should be covered. So shipping isn't included then?
I didn't see shipping anywhere.
It
was free. Was it free?
Yeah, I thought I had seen free shipping.
I looked at so many of them.
Okay.
So it's hard to remember which.
Well, at least you're covered.
It's not on this paper.
Oh, all right. I was looking at the different.
These took the same three and we're covered.
Yeah.
But if there is shipping.
I shouldn't.
It's in the big bulk of papers.
Uh-huh. Do you have to read that whole thing, or do we just add $3,000 to it?
I'll double check.
Yeah.
She's got plenty of her check. She got $75,000 in the checkbook for the $50,000 payroll.
Well, we had banked $30,000 last fall. It was CD.
Purposely.
We cashed that back in our account, but that was purposely earmarked. The furniture and other things that to put back in over there.
Okay, we're good.
What was on sale?
That's why. As I said before.
Question? I'm sorry, Chad.
Yes.
Since I'll be the one directing this, do I have to put in for the permit then?
Free. I think Justin was right. You won.
Yeah, Justin said he did. I did talk to him about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And as long as it's not attached to the building.
So. He didn't know about a tin roof, though, did he?
No.
Are we putting a tin roof on this?
I didn't know about a tin roof either.
Said they're going to put a tin roof.
It's all pergola thing.
A tin roof on the pergola? Yeah, so people can sit out there when it's raining. Have you ever been over to the log and looked at theirs?
Apparently not.
Yeah, it has tin up there. It's nice. That he can sit in there when it's raining.
Kind of creates a sail a little bit. That's why I like that open feature on there, because the air goes through. We wouldn't have to knock snow down if it would have stayed.
Well, maybe what we should do is, and we can talk about it later. I mean, it's not, we'll put it up and see how it does.
You know, we've got a lot of area over here for when it's raining.
Yeah.
That I considered that more of just a sunshade, or, you know.
It does filter the sun.
Yeah, and once, you know, in the evening this time, you know, the sun's over here, you're going to get a lot of shade out of that.
That sun's still going to come through that.
Yeah, but you'll get a fair amount as the angle of the sun comes down. But to have a roof on that, I wouldn't be big on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can get some thick fabric or something.
Like the sails. Yeah, the sailcloths are nice. I wonder if we did decide to put tin on there, if it would null and void the 5-year limited warranty.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be something to check into. Because then you're modifying it.
Yes.
Yeah, the birds get underneath there and stuff.
True.
selfies.
Or maybe find out what they do, like if there's something that they do. Mm-hmm. Or find out what the log did.
Yeah.
You know, maybe came with it, maybe one of them comes with it or something.
Right. Approval to purchase a dishwasher. You have three of them on this paper.
Yeah, I need all three.
Randy wants one for his house. I went through and looked at a few different ones, and there's a couple with doors, and then there's the one that's open on the top. And I think that would be the best one for what we want, so it's not, you know, you're not bending over, opening the door, shoving stuff in.
Or running into the door.
Yeah, and Ann had sent this one to me, the one with the top open, because the green mill had it. And she said it worked really, really slick.
Yeah, the Legion has it also.
And Cross Lake?
Yes.
Oh, I will look at theirs.
So I would like permission to order that one. One for
$5,079. And there's no shipping involved too?
Correct. I was just going to say, you've got a good place for it, and yep. The hookup on it, could Chad do?
That I don't know. I mean, we're going to take out that three compartment sink because we wouldn't need that anymore, okay. And put it right there. So all the plumbing's there, everything's ran to there, so I don't know if Chad
would have to get it if that's too much. It probably wouldn't be that.
That's what I was thinking too. The electric for it would probably be the biggest thing.
Justin, married to Becky.
Oh, Jake, you're my kid too. Yep.
Yeah, I talked to him about
it. Oh, okay. Perfect. But yeah, it'll fit really good there, and it'll actually give us a lot more room so we can have some more shelving on the side of it and stuff too for glasses or whatever we need. So it's going to open up a lot there.
Need a motion?
I'll make a motion to purchase the Noble Wear Washing CG Electric Carousel Washer, dishwasher, for $5,079.
And then we'll probably do shipping.
So shipping.
And tax.
And tax. And
installation. Installation. The bars.
Whatever other costs are associated with the dishwasher.
I mean, I'll try, but no. This is Sue Webster.
Hold on.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Vote.
All right.
Thank you. All right, next up we have this patio furniture. If anybody has been out on the patio, you know the tables and chairs that I bought a couple of years ago are getting kind of, we've seen better days. So Randy and I looked at the polywood sets and came up with, that's probably our best bet because it seems like they are very durable, will withstand a lot, and hardly any maintenance on it. So the one on the bottom, the Lakeside 7-piece bar set, is what I would like to get, and I would like to order four of them.
So you're going to just get the high tops? You're not going to get any of the...
No, any of the low ones. What I would like to do is get the high tops and put them under the pergola and out on the patio that way, and put the other lower tables on the underneath where the patio is on the west side.
And those are doing well so far?
I mean, with a little help.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's okay. Just so we have some shorter seating too. Not everybody likes to sit tall. It's hard for some people.
Right.
Yeah,
sure. And the gray chairs out there, we thought we'd maybe pick up a few more of the gray ones, get rid of them brown ones out there, or them tan ones that are showing the wear really a lot. So we have plenty of the short tables out there.
Okay.
That will be fine.
I need a motion?
I make a motion. The bar spends $7,784 on four tables.
the Lakeside 7-piece bar set.
Second?
I'll second that.
Okay, your motion, you're specific. Did you just take that times four? But did you add any of the there's tax, so plus tax and shipping?
We'll just say that in the motion.
Yeah. Plus tax and shipping.
Better second?
I'll second that.
Vote?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. All right, next up we have is the little black bar chairs for inside. We do not have enough. The ones we bought from Patty Miller are getting old, so we need some new ones in there. The only ones that I could find that are vinyl are the ones in front of you, and otherwise they were all fabric. We really don't want fabric in there. So I would need a dozen of the black chairs. And the $197.64 is for three chairs.
Yeah, they're 65.88 per chair.
Small print.
Yeah, so 12 of them would be $790.56 for a dozen.
$790.56. I'll make a motion to get a dozen more chairs at $792 plus tax and shipping.
Second.
Vote.
Aye.
Thank you.
Cha-ching.
How much of this are you?
Chad, yes.
Just to be clear on these seven patio sets and stuff, am I putting those together?
It's a possibility.
Well, I'll see if I can find people to help me. Okay.
There's four, not seven.
Yeah.
But, yeah, seven pieces of each set.
I'll see if I can find some volunteers to help me put them together. Because I know you'll be busy with the pergola.
Angry.
Yeah, let's not forget.
Nice view wanted.
Job security. Chad and Boop did recover a lot of the chairs in the bar and outside. I'm just waiting for more fabric to get here to finish the rest of them. They look really good.
They do. So they look really nice. Job. Notice them right away. Yeah,
nice photos. Much appreciated.
Can I make a comment too? A shout out. Just did such a good job. We go back to the things you did. Okay, do you realize that would have been probably 50 to 60 pages?
Great.
And I asked her to kindly work her magic. Is that much easier for you guys to read than
sure. All
yeah. the other stuff? Because if it's not, tell us.
Thank you.
No, that's very,
okay.
very concise. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, I really appreciate it.
All right, I'm done spending the money, almost.
How much do you suppose you have left? I'm hoping you're average. I'm checking. You. We had $30,000 in the CD, and your bank account's still looking pretty close. Are you? How much did we just spend?
About 16 grand, if I'm close.
About 15, well, so we spent about half.
Yeah,
of
half so, yeah.
Okay.
I was thinking right around 20, but you think it's 16?
Yeah, I don't know what shipping and all that.
Yeah,
so it might be.
Okay. But next we have our POS support. You know, we have none, went to conference, did not find anybody there to help us at all. So, been in contact with Michael Wolf, and I just think we need to go with them and get support, because right now that POS is doing some really weird stuff again, and we're not even into the busy season.
Yeah, we can't go without support for that thing. It's been a calamity since it started.
Yep. So we need to get something in place. I had to come up here the other day because we were having trouble with the credit card thing, and I got it fixed finally, but the girls were busy and couldn't get it figured out, so.
Where is he located?
Oh gosh, New York.
I think this says New Hampshire.
So he's not local. No, but yeah. I mean, none of ours have been though. Okay, I just, yeah, none of them have been, so.
Can you get a picture of this?
Can you run over here quick?
We did have a packet on it.
Yeah.
HDSME.
What page is it?
So do we have to enter into it?
It's not in the packet.
Yeah, there's a contract. And we're saying they didn't have a contract, but we need one, so one got created for us.
What are they charging for us? We didn't get a page or a packet on.
Overall, I believe it's $1,500 a year.
A year?
Yes. But it's, I don't have it in front of me and I'm very sorry. $900 for support and then like $500 something, right around in there for like call-in if you need to call.
Emergency Saturdays.
Yeah. And I think that's right around what we were paying digital dining to.
Yeah, or less.
Or less.
Yeah.
So hopefully this one will work better than.
Are they familiar with our system?
They are, yep.
Yeah, otherwise they wouldn't be supportive, but yeah, they.
It seems like ours seem to be a specialty one and not everybody can handle it.
I think they're all specialty ones.
We need a motion?
I make a motion that we approve hospitality data systems to be our support system for the liquor store.
Second.
Vote.
Aye.
One thing though is the credit card.
Yes. Can you explain that more than I can? Because I talked to Marilyn today and she did not make sense to me at all.
Okay. So a while back we met with a new credit card processing rep. And she's the one who enlightened us to start charging the customers back the 2.5% on credit card transactions, of which we've been doing. That definitely makes a difference for the bar profit. And then she also looked at our past credit card statements and said she could probably save us $150 to $200 a month. And they honestly, they all say this, to get your business. And based off of what the rates were paying, she could get it lower. Okay, so we took it to council, it was approved. Nothing's happened because we lost the support with Transform, and so we didn't have anybody that could help with this change. But in the meantime, I got very frustrated because this first data was charging us monthly, $23.50, and then another $23.50, and then a $53.45, and I'm like, come on, we aren't even using your services. So now I'm in this whole role and mess of trying to reconcile every month when they're taking this money and they're not giving it back or they're giving it back. Right now they owe us $130. So, but they're ready to go as soon as we get the support. I'm not comfortable right now until I get reimbursement on the monies that they've taken.
These are the hospitality data that we just...
No.
Okay.
Credit card processing.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would like to see how the new support people go, get that, you know, before we bring in a new credit card processor and really mess her and her staff up for the summer. Heartland's okay right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just like maybe
so
discussion.
So what system are we going with right now?
We're with Heartland Credit Card Processing.
Okay, but this other company is charging us?
Yes.
Okay. And so originally we were going to go with them, but they're already charging us.
Right, and we haven't been using their services.
I see, yeah.
It all got messed up because we lost support for Transform, so it threw a wrench in everything.
But I can kind of see what you're talking about. They're already charging us, so and they're not even giving us any services, so it seems a little sketch.
It does.
Yeah. If you want to stay with who we're going with, I think that.
Well, and then today when I was on the phone with Marilyn, she said, okay, first data. HDNS, whatever, our new support, they don't want to go with them, they want to go with TSYS. So now they want us to go with a totally different credit card processor. And I just told her, I'm not comfortable, but it's a council decision.
Yeah.
Heartland's working now.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Randy?
I would stay with the one that brought us to.
Okay. I think maybe a motion for that.
It's working okay.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Mm-hmm. I'll make that motion on the hospitality, or that notice?
Just Heartland, to stay with Heartland credit card.
Stay with Heartland credit card.
I'll second that. Vote.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
We have some, so I think we're all done.
I just wanted to know if the council was aware about the property damage that we've had out here in the parking lot, and if they plan on doing anything about it.
I believe it's already been taken care of.
Yes.
So, in the next 30 days anyways.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if you guys were aware of the burnout out there. Okay. Happened the other day. He is 86 from here for 30 days. Does it again and it'll be even longer. I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't any property damage other than on the pavement, so we didn't call the sheriff's department. I have a hard time calling that for that, but, if you guys want, or you guys can come and talk to me afterwards about it if you'd like.
Well, is it something council thinks if it's a third offense? The sheriff should be called?
Is this the second offense?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. So now I know who did it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't need to add something new, but so this is the second offense for this person?
Yeah. And he was warned after the first time that this is what would be happening to him.
And the first time, the cops did go over there because the fire department was called, and the cops did go over there, and he really basically said there wasn't really a lot he could do about it.
Does he even have a driver's license now? In this hall.
Can we bill him?
You guys can do whatever you want. Whatever you guys want to do, just let me know.
You know, that might be a good idea on the next, if there is a next one, more time out and then bill them for it.
Yeah. So what do we do to repair it?
There really ain't much I can do.
I haven't even seen it, I don't know.
You can
box it?
Yeah, that's just band-aid.
It looks terrible.
Yeah. You just have to chip seal the whole works, repaint it.
Yeah.
Otherwise you're going to have, like you said, it'll look like a band-aid.
But there was an incident report done that night, so you guys know it was on my desk within the hour. I gave it to Ann the next day. So. Okay. Alright.
Thank you,
Diana. Mm-hmm. Mayor's report. Renew, review, and renew CDs. There are three CDs that are coming due, and I have misplaced that paper. I have this one.
This is the beginning of the packet, page 8.
Okay.
Well, the good news is they all went up. Bad news is the long term doesn't look good, but.
First Western Bank was on vacation when I made the phone calls to get the newest rates, and Ruth called me yesterday, and they are willing to do 5.15.
For how long?
12 months. Mm-hmm. They want our business.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And make sure we don't put all of our eggs in the same basket.
No. Who was that again?
First Western.
And what was it, 5.15?
Yeah,
5.15.
Wow.
For 12 months. That's
a really good
deal. That's a significant.
It is.
But I agree with you, I don't want to call my eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
So on that note.
If I can find the food,
is that what we're talking about? Mm-hmm. The three?
Okay, at least three. It is these three.
We've got two at First Western.
And
well, the things we have a bunch at other places, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have four at Pine River, four at First National currently, and three at First Western.
So we could do these three and keep them at First National if we have a bunch of other places.
But what is First National's 12-month? They don't even have a 12-month. They have a 5.0.
No, she just said they would give us
First Western.
Oh, First Western.
Yeah. It's always confusing.
Sorry. Or we could put one in the 5 month if there's something that can come out.
It's a 7 month.
Well, there's one that's 5 month that's 1.12 at Frank and Friends and Friends of Banks. I'm not sure if we need something in 5 months. We don't, but we can just throw them in the 12 months.
I'm not worried about them all being having a lot of First Western.
Okay.
Because we don't have checking accounts there.
But still, they would kind of keep them nice stuff.
Well, she's just saying that we already have a bunch of those pages. Like, at 1.6.
Are you looking at the sheet? Page 8?
Well, we were just talking about the three and first.
Hey, one conversation. Can we have one?
Thanks for coming. Everybody lost interest when we got to
thanks
one.
For coming.
Thanks for all the info. My first thought was to move the two highest ones to and let First National keep that one. What's the rate of First National?
Well, they're for 7 months, they're 5.0.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You're talking about 10.1%.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I have that rate, so.
My thought was to take the bigger two, and move those over to First Western and leave the 46 with First National. That was my thought. Anybody else have?
Do we have any First National?
We do already. We already do. We have right at the moment. Those three are all First National plus one more. So First Western would gain two, and First National would lose two, but they still have two of them.
Those two are General Roads is the bottom one.
Yeah. And two, you know, something came up with Roads or something. If we went and left that one in First National, 5.0, it's 7 months. It would be available in 7 months rather than, you know,
on that note, part of that could be used for the riprapping that's going to need to be done on, we could not renew the entire thing, just remove part of it and take it all for $10,000, whatever. We could have go three bids.
What is in the road department?
The one in Roads is the $46,000.
No, I was looking at where their bank account is sitting right at the moment.
They have $36,000.
Any thoughts, Chad?
You know, that brings all the December is one we
know.
Yeah.
I just know that dust guard is going to cost a little more this year than usual.
What do you think it's going to cost us?
Well, if he has to come back twice, then it's going to be doubled. So it'll be about $66,000.
What have we got budgeted?
$45,000.
Okay.
What page is that?
8.
Yeah, so if we did throw
it, free it up in December.
Right, that would might be all right.
What is it? Is that bill due on
for 7 months?
Are you talking to me?
Do we generally get billed right away on that, or is it 30 days out? Or?
We've never worked with this company.
True.
Usually Larry was just ended the whole
end
cycle.
Of
the
year. Yeah.
I mean, he's going to have plenty of money because we're going to start getting our tax assessed money in.
Yeah, we should tax assessment money in July.
We actually get our big payment in June.
Okay, coming up. I'll make the motion that we take CD number 1607 and 2436 and put them in First Western Bank for 12 months and leave 1601 at First National Bank and then put that in for 7 months at 5%.
Second.
Aye. Just any more discussion? Andy looked like he was deep in thought over.
I remember.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
We need
to have a discussion.
No, I was just doing me and myself.
Okay. Vote.
Aye.
Aye.
Purchasing personnel, you have another. Don't have any money out there, I just don't know.
Grab her credit card.
Well, she did stay for it, and she budgeted her way.
Yes, she did, yes, she did.
I wish she was about 30 days sooner.
Randy, I apologize, you wanted me to remember that under the liquor report, the fire department did pay 3 months of rent now at $7,090.37. So that will hit your May P&L. After speaking with the league, they said don't go back and do your P&Ls and adjust January, February, March. It's the year end you worry about, so it'll reflect this at our year end.
So the did you say 700?
7,000.
7,000. That covers 3 months?
January, February, March. So we should be looking at April's anytime soon.
And we talked about the last fire meeting because of our person's new at it for one, but Ron would have that money come in instead of 30 days. We would okay it at this council meeting right now for March. So we'd be a month and a half behind to get them, because he's got to get his paperwork fast enough. We're going to discuss this more. We did discuss it last week.
I didn't understand what you were asking.
We might swap our business meeting to be the second meeting of the month, and our training meeting would be the first weekend of the month, so we would try to get this paperwork thing, but we would, but in that note, we would be 6 weeks behind, I think, instead of being paid 2 weeks behind. We'd say,
How does that work with the...
They're us paying the bar.
Yeah,
they're paying. I think they can still pay the check whenever they... But it takes him more than 2 weeks to get all the paperwork checked, and he did it for a while.
We're always a month behind on the P&L.
So it wouldn't affect that.
No.
Okay.
One thing, though, I do want to point out is we have not got the pull tab report. I've got just the monthly rent analysis, but I haven't got the full pull tab reports that typically I would send to you via email, which are important for the bar to be able to view, because she doesn't know the final outcome on the longs and shorts in these boxes. So I did speak with Andy one day. I think I talked to you too. And it's very important. Typically when the rent check comes, that report is attached to it. So I would highly encourage that we get caught up on that too. So. Thank you.
Any other unfinished business? Open forum, here's your chance. I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Well, we all want to
second.
Yeah.
Did we?